In the hour that I sat down to begin writing this sermon, there were not one but two stories on the ABC News about the social boundaries of physical touch. In the first, it said that the former United States Vice President Joe Biden had promised to be much more mindful of respecting personal space after acknowledging his tendency towards physical displays of affection made some women uncomfortable. And in the second, a policeman in Western Australia was cleared on charges of indecent assault arising from pinching a woman's bum. And the magistrate, Michelle Ridley, ruled that in an era of twerking and easy access to pornography, a bum pinch did not constitute an indecent assault. I'm not here to comment on whether Joe Biden really gets it or whether Magistrate Michelle Ridley got it right, though I have my doubts on both. But I do want to talk about how we negotiate the boundaries around personal space and personal touch. It's relevant to today's gospel reading, and it's also relevant to some of our own congregational practices right here in the Sunday liturgy. You may be surprised where this is going to go, because I'm a bit surprised myself. Despite agreeing with Joe Biden that the social norms and rules have changed and that therefore men especially need to recognise that many types of touch that used to be considered normal are actually highly inappropriate, despite that, I'm going to end up suggesting that within the liturgy we should actually be more free rather than less free about touching one another. Hang in there with me. I think it will make sense in the end. The story that we heard from John's Gospel tonight told of an incident of intimate physical touch that shocked and disturbed those who witnessed it. Mary of Bethany opened some very expensive perfumed cream and used it to massage Jesus' feet and then wiped them with her hair. To both the first readers of John's Gospel and the actual witnesses of this event, this was an unexpected and shocking violation of the social norms around intimate physical touch. And they would have been all the more bewildered when Jesus did not pull away and reject such intimacies, especially in front of others. There are differing versions of this story in all four Gospels. Matthew's and Mark's versions are almost identical, but put less emphasis on the intimacy and more emphasis on the dispute afterwards about whether the cream should have been sold and the money given to the poor. John's version that we heard does include that dispute, but it puts greater emphasis on the intimacy. And Luke's version is the most different and the most focused on the reaction of the onlookers to the intimate touch itself. Luke explicitly tells us that the Pharisee who was hosting the dinner party, it's in a different context in this gospel, the Pharisee who was hosting the dinner party is disgusted that Jesus is accepting intimate physical attentions from the wrong kind of woman. And Jesus, far from downplaying it, actually puts the spotlight clearly on the physical touch. He says to the Pharisee, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she's not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment." He really highlights the physical touch. So although John's version does include the conversation about whether the cream should have been used to raise money for the poor, please forgive me for leaving that detail untouched tonight and following Luke and John in focusing our attention instead on the intimate physical touch and the discomfort we experience when the usual social boundaries around touch are not properly understood or adhered to. And to do that, I want to pose a question about these stories and then use that question to jump across to something that goes on here in our Sunday liturgies. So first to my question. The onlookers at this dinner party were clearly shocked that Jesus didn't draw back and reject this woman's touch. Judas's comments about selling the cream and giving the money to the poor sound more like the blusterings of a man who was so shocked and bewildered that he didn't know what to say. So he focuses in on some random detail where he feels a bit safer. Simon the Pharisee knows exactly what he thinks, and he's disgusted and appalled. He is going straight to the Professional Standards Committee with allegations of breach of boundaries and inappropriate conduct. So we know for sure that people present thought that Jesus should have pulled back and rejected the woman's touch. So my question is this: what would have happened if he had? And I'm not thinking about Judas and Simon here. I'm thinking about the woman. What would it have done to her if Jesus had recoiled from her and refused to let her touch him? Take a moment to think about that. Imagine yourself in her shoes. Jesus describes her as someone who has found great forgiveness through him and who is now expressing great love the best way she knows how. And John implies that she realizes that Jesus will soon be dead and that this might be her last chance to express her love and gratitude to him. If that was you there, trying to express your love and gratitude, what would it be like if Jesus pulled back and pushed you away, rejecting your touch as though it might contaminate him? Hold that thought and come back with me into our Sunday liturgy right here. There's a point in our liturgy each week where loving physical touch is ritualized between us. It is, of course, the passing of the peace. In a couple of weeks' time, we'll do foot washing too, but that one's only once a year. We pass the peace every week, and it would probably rank as one of the most problematic components of the liturgy. And I think there's two reasons why it's problematic, and they interact with each other and make each other worse. The first is that, as we've already been considering, different people have different levels of comfort with physical touch. And nowadays, more than ever, we are all a little bit uncertain about the boundaries and exactly where they lie and what they mean. And the second is that the ritual or symbolic meaning of passing the peace is not well understood. In fact, or easily forgotten. And when that happens, it easily degenerates into nothing more meaningful than a cheery little meet and greet break popped into the middle of the worship service. Nothing more than a, you know, turn and say hello to those seated near you. So how do these two interact? Well, when you mostly think of it as just a meet and greet break, and you feel a bit wary about the boundaries of personal space and physical touch, two things happen. Firstly, you're most likely to seek out your best friends to exchange the peace, because they are both the people that you are most feeling like catching up with anyway, and they are the people with whom you are the least likely to misread the cues and stuff up the boundaries. And secondly, you are most likely to veer away from the people who you don't know so well or who seem most damaged or timid about intimate social interaction and physical touch. Now, sometimes we are entirely well-meaning about this, or at least we're trying to be well-meaning about this. At least I'd like to think that I've been trying to be well-meaning about this. We're trying to read people's body language and evaluate whether they really want us to come into their personal space and offer them our hands. And if they look a bit terrified or a bit averse to being approached, we try to be respectful of that and perhaps just give them a smile or a wave to wish them well and then go back to reaching out our hands to the more confident and comfortable. But there's something that happens when we do that, even if we are trying to be entirely respectful and compassionate about it. And I know this happens because I have recently had my eyes opened to it by listening to people in this congregation who have been frequently on the receiving end of this. Bring back that feeling that you had when you imagined yourself as Mary of Bethany, but you imagined Jesus drawing back and rejecting your touch. Imagine that feeling right here. Imagine yourself as someone who is quite timid and fearful about working out the rights and wrongs of participating in such a physical ritual. Maybe you're just new here and everyone is a stranger to you still. Maybe you've suffered physical abuse in the past and that has left you both craving healthy, safe physical affection, but understandably afraid of reaching out for it too. Or maybe you've experienced a lot of open rejection in your life. Perhaps you've faced a lot of racism, or you have some obvious physical deformity or disability, or a mental illness, or you live on the streets, or you don't speak much English. So you're all too used to people averting their eyes and walking by on the other side. So here you are in the liturgy, and there is no way that you could bring yourself to take the initiative and just walk boldly up to others to offer your hand and your greeting. You almost shrink into yourself in terror. Here are all these people confidently expressing their love and goodwill to one another, but you couldn't possibly muster the courage to jump in. But what's even more terrifying and paralyzing is that you know that you might be overlooked again, even here. Even here, people might avert their eyes and just give you a smile before scurrying off to greet their friends, leaving you alone, untouched, and dying of humiliation. What would that be like? What would it be like if Jesus, if the body of Christ, pulled back and pushed you away, rejecting your touch as though it might contaminate him? What if he offered a warm hug or handshake to everyone else, but nothing more than a nod across the room to you? What would that be like? Thinking about what that will be like is one way of changing the ways that we get this wrong. But I think that understanding what the passing of the peace is supposed to be will probably help too. Because the passing of the peace is not a random meet and greet break in the liturgy. The reason that it happens as part of our preparation for sharing communion at the Lord's table is that it is specifically related to our communion, community, unity. It originally came into the liturgy as a ritualization of what Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount. If you are offering your gift at the altar and you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister and then come and offer your gift. We make a mockery of the Lord's table if we seek to feed from it, but we refuse to humble ourselves and make peace with one another. So the two most important aspects of the passing of the peace are firstly reconciliation, wherever there's been a falling out or broken relationship, and secondly, the creation or expansion of the Eucharistic community to visibly and tangibly include those who might not yet be fully included or who are in most danger of being left on the fringes, overlooked, and falling out of our reach. So let me finish up with some intensely practical instruction on how to go about the passing of the peace. Whenever we pass the peace, I want you to ask yourself three questions and let the answers to these questions guide you as to who you seek out as you are sharing the peace. The first question is there someone here tonight who might have reason to doubt whether I would appreciate their presence and wish them God's richest blessings? Now, probably that would be somebody who you've had a fight or a falling out with. But there could be other reasons for somebody feeling rejected by you too. They are your first priority in the passing of the peace. You need to go and genuinely wish them the peace and blessings of God. And if you're not yet willing to do that, then you should self-exclude from communion. The second question is, who are the people here who I am least connected to and who perhaps are least well integrated into our community life? Who are the people that I don't know very well, or who I feel a bit unsure or uncomfortable around, or who I don't really know how to talk to or relate to, or who look a bit timid and terrified in all this flurry of social interaction? Who are the people who might not have Mary of Bethany's brazenness, but who might desperately need to know that Jesus isn't overlooking them and is seeking them out and offering them a touch, a greeting, an expression of hope and love? I know it feels risky because I've done the same thing. It feels safer and can even feel more respectful to not step into the personal space of someone who looks unsure whether they want it. But even if they are unsure that they want it, the long-term effect of being politely left out is far more devastating. Believe me, there are people here who have had that experience here among us often, and we need to repent. So long as you don't start imposing uninvited cuddles and kisses on people, there is no danger of a sexual harassment complaint from a warm handshake within the safe boundaries of a structured liturgical ritual. It's not going to happen. But there is a clear and certain danger of people feeling excluded if you decide for them that they don't want you near them. If they really don't want people near them, they will self-exclude by going outside until we finish. And we have had people who do that. That's okay. So if they are still here and you recognise that they might not yet feel fully loved and welcomed and accepted and appreciated by you, then they are your next priority in the passing of the peace. And thirdly, who are your friends who you feel completely comfortable with? Make sure you share the peace with several of them so that passing the peace doesn't become a way of spotlighting and embarrassing those who are more on the margins. We don't want to set up a dynamic where if someone offers you the peace, you panic that they don't like you and don't feel comfortable around you. So mix it up. Include your friends. But if this ritual is to be genuine and meaningful, make it your priority to include the people who you would most likely instinctively and even unconsciously leave out, either because of how you feel about them after some incident or because they seem more on the outside. And if you're unsure about it, remember Mary of Bethany and what she would have felt like if Jesus had refused to go near her. And let me close with two apologies, or three. First one for this being a very long sermon. The written version on the website is even longer. Secondly, to those of you who have felt excluded and unwanted when we have averted our eyes and bypassed you during the liturgy, I say sorry. I know I have sometimes been one of the offenders and that I am not alone. And I can't speak on behalf of everyone else because that's not a conversation we've had, but I can say that I am sorry. You have been wounded by me and by us, and I'm sorry. And secondly, or thirdly, whatever it was, I want to apologise to all of you for the fact that the passing of the peace is going to feel incredibly awkward tonight. We are all going to feel really anxious and self-conscious, and we'll all be overthinking it. I'm sorry. Sometimes when my Taekwondo instructor tells me to change the angle of my foot on a particular kick, my next attempt sees me fall flat on my face in an ungainly crumpled heap. Because while I was concentrating on one aspect of the kick, everything else fell apart. It can take a couple of weeks to rebuild my kick with my new improved foot angle. This is going to be a bit like that tonight. But if we accept a few weeks of awkward self-consciousness while we rebuild our practice, we will relax into a much healthier place, and our communion will be much the stronger for it. And the Judases and the Simon the Pharisees can say what they like, but the body of Christ will be all the richer and more fragrant with the intoxicating smell of generous, tangible, welcoming love.